You can look back. We've been doing this since April, right? So on a monthly basis, we've come and we've had good interaction on the apologetics tool in the ministry. We use it for evangelism and discipleship. We use it to grow, but we also use it to reach out. And we look at the questions that we battle with as individuals, but also we look at questions that people ask us when we go out to preach the gospel. And so today, we are looking back and taking stock of the year. This is December. We're about to close the year. We want to think about it. But the thing is that over the months, we've been trying to explore the fact that the questions that were once had or seemed hard whenever our friends or family members asked them, or our colleagues at work or school, wherever in the community, we were unable to respond to them. But we thought we can, you know, start a journey of reflecting and learning about how we can respond to these questions. And today we are going to do it together. And so, just give us a summary of the facts, the questions, how you approached it, what you discussed, and how it can be helpful for the others.
Praise God. From the number two group. So these were some of the questions that came through. Why do we celebrate Christmas yet? It is a sacred day in quotes. Where did the idea come from? What is all about Christmas? Is Santa relevant? Why did the Christians never strive to take another day? So, does church love to take authority to institute festivals? Those were our questions. And these are some of the answers and feedback from the members. First of all, Emma said that, and Reverend also said, we are supposed to answer to bring about the essence of other people knowing Christ more than, as in the question should direct to, we should direct them to Christ. Not what they're asking, but direct them what? In our responses. So these are some of the responses. Said that Christians, according to the earlier questions, the Romans used to celebrate that day for their gods. And somebody gave a response saying that, being the Romans then, the Romans used to celebrate that day for their gods, but we are now celebrating it for Christ. That is one of the answers. We took on the Roman calendar, we Christians, and now we have a day to celebrate Christ on the calendar. Then the other answer was, the person being celebrated should love the essence of the day, should know the essence of the day in mind. Not the day itself, but the essence of celebrating Christmas. Merrymaking rather than celebrating Christ. As somebody was saying, referring it as being evil, that people are merrymaking instead of celebrating Christ. Wrong assumption of what Christmas is all about. So, it all goes back to giving people the essence of celebrating Christmas other than referring to the day itself. Basing on our understanding on what is biblical rather than culture was a question of somebody who was referring it as evil in the ancient times according to the Romans. He brought about a scripture of Paul, but the earlier answers, I think, cover that. So that is what we basically discussed about the day, and now we should tell people out there that in this Christmas season, they should turn to Christ in all the questions they're asking about Christmas, whether it is an evil day. We now have an answer that it is not an evil day. The essence is celebrating Christ, and we should let people turn to Christ when we are answering their questions. Thank you. And we should also protect their consciousness. It is very good for somebody's consciousness. If you put it in that it is evil, it will get into somebody's consciousness, and they may not celebrate the essence of Christmas because you've put some poison in their mind. So we should protect their consciousness.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's clap for group two. I expected to hear some things like, what about the people who call it Xmas? I didn't hear that, but I expected somebody to ask around there because there's been a lot of discussion on why some people call it Xmas. And then, I mean, somebody did bring out, I was in your group and here, that this is the birthday. We are celebrating a birthday. And when you're celebrating a birthday, we just celebrated my wife's birthday on the 26th of November. Did we celebrate the day or we celebrated my wife? Did we celebrate? If it is a birthday is to humans or to trees or to buildings. What is it to? So what, without humans, there are no birthdays, right? So somebody mentioned something about birthdays there. And of course, definitely, Jesus was a historical figure, wasn't he? When we celebrate his birthday, his life, his death, his resurrection, we are saying on this day, there was a day in history when he was what? Born. Do you dispute that? No. Okay, let's zero down to a day. Now the discussion around that day is what you were having and how it was, what come up to. But then, of course you said taking the opportunity to share his story. And of course, do you remember when the Romans used it to celebrate evil? Or before Christmas, before Christ was born and the people were celebrating evil and doing all their idolatrous stuff. That is called abuse. You understand? Any day can be abused. Any day can be abused, can be misused. Like you're here on Sunday, you're celebrating and having prayers. And some people are in the shrines, they're doing whatever. Or some prostitute is busy doing their business. You cannot say that is a prostitute today, so we are not going to do the business we're supposed to do. But then the thing is that you need to think about the fact that finally what you said, we are celebrating a person and not a day. You need to, that is the signature. But again, where are the scriptures about that? Because you need to point to God's signature on that discussion. What is God saying on that question? And what God says is found where? In the Bible. So what does God say about the coming of Christ? All right? Then finally, before Christ, there was no Christmas. I hope we agree on that. The reason for Christmas is who? So anything you're telling me that was used to be celebrated as a pagan day, that was before Christ, excuse me. When Christ stepped in the picture, ta-da! For anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new, including days. Anyway, I'll take it to that radical state. But I want to go to the other guys. Quickly. Where are they? Quickly, come and take us through. Our time is gone. There's a lot you can think about it.
Okay, praise God. I was part of group one. And the first thing we did in our group was to identify, to ask a few questions, possible questions that can be asked by people, especially to people who are saved. One of the questions that came up was, how can Israel be God's nation while they are killing Palestinians? You know, that was asked to one of us, even today. Second question was, can someone lose their salvation once they are saved? Three was, is it okay to sin? Because there is grace, you know, and the Bible tells us that once we get saved, your sins of yesterday, of today, and tomorrow are already forgiven. So is it okay to continue sinning that we are, now that we are saved? Four was, how can we prove that Jesus Christ was born on 25th of December? Okay, that's what you guys in group two worked on. Five was, Christmas and Easter are based on a pagan practice, and I think you have mentioned it also. Question number six was, now these are concerns from people. Some of them are Catholics or from other, and others are not even at all Bible-believing people. The other one was, does it mean that to have life eternal, one has to be a Pentecostal? The other question was, previous killings in Christian circles, were they all approved by God? Now, number eight, and that was the last question that he was asked in our group was, is being born again a religion or a lifestyle? Okay, so now we zeroed on, we sort of voted. It was a democratic process. We voted and people zeroed on six and eight. And six, you remember it was saying, to have life eternal, do we need to be Pentecostals? And eight was saying, is being born again a religion? So we combined those two and it became one question. And it was around, being born again. Is it the only way to heaven? So, one of the things we did was first of all to, we gave ourselves two tasks. One was, why should someone ask this kind of question? What's the motivation behind this question? We have always to ask ourselves. And the second part of our assignment was, how else can we phrase these questions? So the first one, we said that people will ask this kind of question that, in order to go to heaven, do I need to be born again? So one of the reasons why people ask that question was people say, I'm a Catholic and I'm born again, so leave me alone because me, I will stay in my Catholic religion and I'm going to heaven because I'm born again, but in my Catholic religion. Other people say, we are brought up, the other comment was that, why should people ask this question? It's because we are brought up in religious setups. I think all of you agree. That's our background. Most of us each belonged once to a certain religion. Others were Catholics, others Muslims, others, Hindu, and so on and so forth. So what we came up was that people think, since we are part of a religious background, therefore, even being born again is like another religion. C was maybe being born again, maybe some people who are born again are seen as being even more sinful than people who are not born again. So people ask people are saying you are born again. We saw Pastor so and so do this. We had Sister so was doing this. And you are saying that you are the only one going to heaven. Is that true? Because they have identified certain Christians who are living dubious lives. Okay? The other one was people don't want to lose status in society. People gave examples in our group. Some people do not want to change their religion just because they want to keep the status quo. There are people in churches I have been to, these other like Protestant churches and Catholics, they have their chair. I don't know whether I have seen people like that. So and so sits there and that's generational and so sits there and all their, descendants. So when I come to born again, when will I ever get my seat marked? So that was also another concern which was seen as motivation to that question. So when will I become somebody when I become born again? So the other item was wherever we are reading the Bible. You people are saying born again, you are reading the same Bible. So what? So I stay Pentecostal, I will stay Protestant or Catholic. Even some people say I will stay with my Quran because so it's a holy book. Okay? And now the other item was, what would you do if you are asked that question? Now you are born again and you are asked that question. Should all of us be saved in order to go to heaven? So someone suggested that we give a verse. And we had a number of verses that we suggested in that line. The other item was, I ask what it means.
One of the verses you suggested.
Okay. There was some 3 points I was covering, then I will come back to verses. The second item was we need to ask what it means for that particular person, what they understand by being again. So there is some definition that needs to be done. And then someone, of course, said that what they would do the first time they asked that question, the first thing they would do is to pray. So we are encouraged to pray. First, in your heart, a very quick prayer, like the one that was prayed by who can remind us, someone who said a very quick prayer. Nehemiah? Yeah, Nehemiah. Give a very quick prayer. You know, it can be even one word. God help. Okay, those are two words. Okay, so some of the verses we agreed to share with the people, especially when they are of, when they are Bible believing, whether when they read Bible, was John 3:16. Okay? John 3:16. Do you remember John 3:16? Okay. A quick one to that. Okay, time is going. So John 3:16 can be shared. And so God so loved that he gave his only. Okay. And whoever believes in him. Okay. So we can give that one. And the other one was John 3:3. Okay. And we also, someone suggested Mark 16 from 15 on. That those who believe in God, we all go. Someone suggested that if someone asks you that question, you can tell them. Because sometimes they ask us those questions when they want to be personal confrontation. And they say, you mean you are the only ones going to heaven. So don't make it personal. Just tell that person that as long as you are doing what Jesus told us to do, you are also going to heaven. You see? So does belonging to a denomination qualify one to heaven? Maybe yes, maybe not. Do you need to... okay, there are some parts, but because of time, I think I need to cut short. Do you need to focus on signs and wonders? Are those the only, if like, for example, I'm able to do signs and wonders, does that mean that I'm going to heaven? And someone pulled us out a scripture saying that on that day Jesus will say, not all those who say that my Lord, will all come. And on that day he will tell them that I never knew you. So the fact that they are signs and wonders may not qualify. Then there is someone who suggested Hebrews 5:8, obeying Christ. Okay? You guys can go ahead and read some of those scriptures. There's Romans 10:9. So this question of being born again and going to heaven can only be emphasized by focusing on the Word of God, and only the Word of God can have an eternal answer to this. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's clap for them. And that question is very crucial if you connect it with the coming of Christ that the group two discussed. Because before Christ, no one thought about being born again. And I'm glad they quoted John 3, because the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus suggests that there was a problem. Okay? Our time is gone. We need to end. But I believe that was a good way to begin thinking that actually you can do these things, can't you? You can boldly and intellectually and lovingly engage with your friends' questions rather than refer them to an expert apologist. All right? Thank you. Our time is fast spent, but at least we made good use of it. Amen? So let's give thanks to God for that, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that it is by your grace that we are able even to gather on such an evening and get time as brethren to reflect on the great commission you've given us, we who share in that privilege of eternal life that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that how do we extend the call to the others? Father, many times we have failed because we feel incompetent, but we know that your Spirit empowers all that avail themselves to be used of you, and we just need to trust you to give us the right responses. Thank you that you've enabled us to think about the two questions, but there are many others that are asked about suffering, about wars, about women, about oppression, about injustices, about lots of stuff and poverty, many things that we encounter in our lives. Lord, we pray that you give us the wisdom to respond in a way that will help people see the cross of Christ and understand why you came in flesh and lived among men. May your name be glorified even as we head out. May you be with us, lead us out, protect us. May you continue to provide for us, Lord, in our needs according to your riches in glory. And we look forward to meeting again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.